Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. My guest today is Caitlin Rosier, a licensed architect and founder of Mentor Dyno. Caitlin is focused on a problem many of us feel every day, but rarely stop to define: the gap between education and real-world practice. As firms grow, that gap often lands on the shoulders of already overwhelmed teams. Through Mentor Dyno, Caitlin is building practical training systems to support both emerging professionals and firm leaders. Today, we're going to explore how better training, stronger mentorship, and intentional support can help lead to more profitable, sustainable architecture firms. Caitlin Rosier, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark, for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Long time coming, for sure. This is something we've been trying to do for a long time, and I'm glad that we're finally hitting the big red button and getting this going here. So it's good to have you here. Let's start with your origin story. Go back as far as you want to go back. When did you discover your passion for architecture, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Yeah, so I guess it's when I discovered architecture as a path that I could go do as a career. And that was with woodshop back in middle school. So technical hand drafting into CAD to fabrication. And that was kind of a light bulb moment for me because
you have a very cool high school.
Yeah, I always liked the
school.
Arts.
You said middle school, right?
Middle school.
Wow, the middle school with a wood shop is pretty impressive. Where did you grow up?
In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So for anybody local to me, I went to North Allegheny. So it's a very large school in the area that tends to have extracurricular activities and extra courses to fill out a day that you can really hone in on something that you're passionate about. So it lended me to be able to have opportunities to discover and get my hands dirty without necessarily having to go to like a separate trade school or something else to get the experience.
I hope anybody who has contact with educators and people who put together curriculums for middle schools and high schools are hearing you, because a lot of that's been cut out of, you know, public education and middle school and high school education. And I think there are reasons why those courses and those trainings should be there.
Yeah.
And you're a perfect example of that.
Because neither of my parents knew architects. I loved arts. My dad owned his own custom framing gallery. So I grew up, you know, being in the back of the gallery where he's putting together all the frames, taking out the foam core, and just being able to draw on markers. And it gave me that artsy side. And it was never, I couldn't find a path that I could take some arts and creativity and put it into something that I could actually be profitable on, because he was used to talking to artists. And so it was the starving artist, and I didn't want to be that. So I'm like, no, I want to take this creativity and put it into a profession that I can have a passion for. And so once I figured out the hand drafting, because I always liked sketching, my mom even liked doing calligraphy. So I learned how to do calligraphy. So it was that technical craft that I enjoyed that then we actually had drafting classes that I took all the way through high school. So I say I learned Revit back before I even went to architecture school in college, because that's where I learned it.
Wow.
But I learned Inventor and other programs by Autodesk that can take you down different engineering paths as well. So it got me to think how the CAD drafting side and the hand drafting can come together so you can problem solve. But even then, not too many people in the school district knew the path on architecture. So most people recommended I go talk to architects, and that was a good way to at least get that baseline to figure out where to go. So I went to Kent State University, and most local option I had was Carnegie Mellon. It's a great program, but it's very expensive, and I didn't come from means to be able to pay for a very expensive school. So Kent State was a good alternate that I could also get home if I wanted to, because it's right in Ohio and I'm on the western side of Pennsylvania. So pretty simple. And when I went there, it was more technical based. So learning technical versus concept based architecture programs, I'm glad I went the technical arm because of how I originally found architecture. I am not surprised. I am more a technical architect, more than a design lead type architecture person. And so I struggled in studio because they really get you to think outside the box. And I was just craving the reality in the real world. And so made it through Kent State. I did their 4 years, plus I stayed there for a year and a summer for their master's. So it becomes a full 5 year program to have the 2 degrees. Ended up staying there for the master's just because I was also a tour guide for campus as a way to show people architecture, but also show them the campus that I love. I did always try to gravitate towards the architects and interior designers that would come through looking at those programs. And even the other tour guides were like, please go take them because I can't answer their questions. So it was a way to give back to help people have answers that I didn't have when I started the program. I don't even think I saw studio and what studio looked like ahead of starting architecture school. So I would always go off the typical path and take them up to studio so they could see what I was talking about, because it's so different than what you're used to in the K through 12 world. So once I was done at Kent, it was graduating 2013 and 14, because you graduate pretty quick.
Yeah.
And we were still at the remnants of the 2008 recession. So firms weren't coming to the university to showcase that they were hiring people. And it was just trying to hunt down a job anywhere. And I wanted to come back to Pittsburgh to be home, save some money living at home. And I was able to get a job at a, I would say, medium-sized firm. I hate the firm sizes. I feel like you're either like small or mega. They were at 30 people here locally called IKM. And I did a lot of work local in Pittsburgh within walking, biking, and driving radius. And so I was able to get on job sites a lot. And so I spent more than half of my career before I went off on my own in the construction administration side and on a job site and seeing how you detail and design something and have it become a reality was super impactful. And so I loved my time at that firm, but we definitely hit a spot that we could have filled, I think it was 15 or 16 full-time employees. Our workload was that heavy and they just couldn't find the people. And so naturally project teams get burned out, stressed, the drawings don't go out as good as they should. And I too got burned out and ended up leaving. And I did a quick stint at a design build company locally. Once you go over to the construction side, you know, between the burnout and the money they can throw at you, it's like, well, all right, let's just go for it. But I hated it. I didn't like the culture of that particular office. Nothing against design build. I still like the design build concept and businesses. I just think I picked the wrong one for me. And I learned a lot about myself because I was able to step back. And that's also when I hit the second kind of burnout you can hit, because I was bored out of my mind. I am not good at being bored. And so ended up pivoting one more time and I went to a large firm and shifted over to Smith Group in February of 2020. And so got in right before COVID, but
yeah,
my mindset at the time was, let me go to a large firm because then I can navigate my career and be able to pivot and figure out what path I wanted, because I really wasn't sure where I fit in to the bigger network of career options. And I was at Smith Group through December of 2025, where I decided to fully pivot and go off on my own. decided those large firms, it's a bigger ship to turn and pivot. And I don't like being bored and I don't like very slow reactions. And decided, okay, the next challenge for me is starting my own practice. Because in there, I also started Mentor Dino. And so I'd been doing a business on the side for 3 years at that point, helping just teach architects how to be architects, because I saw all these pain points at all these different professional situations that I've hit, but also hearing stories from others that they're having the same issues. It's not just, hey, I picked the wrong firm and they're really bad at this. It's no, this is happening across most offices. And it's having those systems in place that they're not there because we just don't have time. There's so much we have to do in a day and on a project that sometimes the systems and the trainings get forgotten. So I definitely learned along the way on what that needs to do, but I also learned the business side and how to set up a company. I started an ARE series where I shared stories on how people got through the exams, but pivoted over to the Mentor Dino Academy to help teach people the whole well-rounded approach an architect needs for their training. Because we not only need technical training and drafting, but we also need professional development because we are presenting to our clients. We are also getting new work. You know, if you have a great project, that's potential projects to come in the future. So there's all these different aspects an architect needs to learn, and there's not one source that was putting it all together for everybody. Either you went to like PMP to learn project management. There's a whole bunch of trainings to get through the architecture exams, but there wasn't something that pulled it all together to really hit home. And so now I'm able to practice both. And that's the beauty of being a business owner of two entities, is you can kind of pivot and shift as you need. If I need to do a Mentor Dino call or answer some emails at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I can. It doesn't have to wait till the evenings anymore, till the weekend, or using my lunch hour or moving PTO around. I feel as the two business entities, I am now one whole person instead of trying to act as two. And the small firm, now it's the end of March, so 3 full months in,
yeah,
fully being solo, and I am so busy. I am not surprised because I talk to so many solo architects, small firm owners, and they were all swamped. And I'm like, I'm really surprised. And I thought I would have, you know, the first 6 months to get my systems in place and maybe not have as much cash flow or not be able to make a salary. And I am super busy that I'm already able to pay myself and keep up with everything. So it's another way of juggling, but it's a little bit more freeing and being able to figure it out. So for all the solo architects out there, I get it for everything you do. And now I'm seeing the struggles and the wins as well. It's the roller coaster is a lot steeper when you're out on your own than when you're within a firm.
Yeah.
That's probably my long story.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's perfect. It gives us good context. I want to dive into both of them. I want to get the timeline figured out in my mind. So the firm started in December of 2025. When did Mentor Dino start?
That was 2022.
So you were doing that basically on your off time when you were at Smith Group?
Yep.
Okay, got it. Before we jump into, because I want to start with Mentor Dino and then we'll talk more about the firm. But before we do that, you talked in your origin story about being a tour guide at school and helping people navigate their fresh start at college, and you've built Mentor Dino, which then again reaches out to our profession and says, hey, this is the path that you need to take to get started. What do you think inside you, what inspired that, right? That's not something that everybody has. Do you think that that's something that came with your upbringing or where you grew up, or where do you think that came from for you?
It came from a very specific project. So one of the initial projects when I started out, it was a very tough project that I almost left the profession. And it was one that I would go out for drinks with mentors and they would say statements of, you're getting 5 years of experience in 1 year. And I was just so angry and fed up that I didn't want to listen to them. And it wasn't until after I was through that project and then looked around at everybody around me that was at, you know, the similar starting point,
yeah,
that it started to make sense. Because when you're thrown in tough situations, you learn a lot. And so that project, there was sexism on the job site. I would get zero respect. A male intern would have more respect from other trades and professionals than I would get. It was an owner that could see the project from his office window. I had my project manager internally storm out quitting. I had a project architect that just wanted to design in circles and not actually step into that project architect role. And at that point, I was not a super green recent grad, but probably a year in that I still had no idea what I was doing. We had structural failures on the job because the contractor didn't listen to the structural engineer. I had one structural engineer left to go to a new firm, and the boss I dealt with, he almost flipped a table on a job site. He got so angry.
Oh my goodness. Welcome to architecture.
Yeah. Civil engineer left and ate up all their fee and it was all wrong. And then really complicated, like MEP engineering sides to it that I didn't know what I was doing and still trying to learn. But just trying to get a principal to come with me on a job site was like pulling teeth. So it was very tough. And the principal on that job was also going through cancer at the time too. So I was also trying to pull principals that weren't the main principal in the project because they had health issues and other things happening. So it was tough. And there were still mistakes that anybody would make in my position along the way. But then there was just exponential ones. There was even a lien put on the project because the contractor wasn't paying. And so it's like, talk to architects. They're like, I've been in the business 20 years. I've never had a lien on my project. I'm like, great. I'm in year two and hitting everything. So after that, I started blogging, and it was a really long name. I don't even remember it. And it became Mentor Architect at some point. And it was just a way to talk through architecture because I was also going through my exams at the time. And I got licensed while on that project. So that kind of was the initial stem of like, architecture shouldn't be this hard. Like, it's not like AI where everything's changing once, like every month, some whole new tool. It's construction doesn't change that fast. Why do you not have these systems in place? Why don't you have this training? Why do I have to go hunting down rabbit holes? Or why don't you know this information already? So it was those frustrations. I was like, we got to do something. But every firm I talked to always wanted to keep the information to themselves. Mm-hmm. They felt that was their proprietary knowledge. And it's really not. Like, you as an architect, it's the trust in you as a human being. That's what sells. Like, design, that's all within your head and how you come up with it. But what your client's needs are, that's the magic. The details and everything we need to talk through, why not help all the architects? Because then we could all be more profitable and you wouldn't have to go through these stressful situations because you're not copy and pasting details that are wrong. You teach the basics of the details so somebody, when they draw it, they can understand the why behind the detail and not just copy and paste and move on to the next thing because they have so much to do. So that was really the fire to get me started on everything. But then it was, you know, still young in the profession, and it's who would listen to me. And so I had a lot of imposter syndrome. So I actually had the idea for Mentor Dino 3 years prior to when I started it. And it wasn't until I had a couple coaches and jumping into leadership committees that they were like, no, you're the person that would actually know exactly what you need at this moment, because the principles are so far removed from the day to day and their training was so much different. The project managers and other people moving into leadership, they also grew really fast because of the 2008 recession. So they kind of skipped steps to really diving and learning into all those systems that then that lower branch is really seeing the pain point. And I kind of bridge myself. I'm a millennial by age, but I can understand how the Gen Zs coming in are challenging our norms. But I can also see the craft of hand drafting, because that's how I was taught originally. And I was taught by sitting next to an architect, and I was taught by being in the field. So trying to see those synergies across different ages and how it comes together. But when I started Mentor Dino, I had to completely change the name, because for anybody that opens a business, if you have the word architect in it, they assume you're providing architecture services. And at the time, I by no means wanted to practice on my own. So I changed the name to Mentor Dino. So it stands for Mentoring Designers Innovating New Opportunities, because I wanted to keep the word mentor, but came up with an acronym. And everybody said, you know, go ahead and be crazy with it. We work on programs like Rhino and Grasshopper. So what's another animal in there?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of how that started. So it was, you know, a pain point on a project, seeing those synergies, not only in myself, but in others, and wanting to have a bigger impact than just helping whatever firm I was in at the time. I, you know, still created content and trainings and onboarded professionals. I love the onboarding process and that system internally, but it was a way to have something on my own and build up my own personal brand. And it kind of led me to where I am today.
Yeah. So Mentor Dino started as a platform that helped you connect with mentors, it sounds like.
It was just a way to help people. Like originally it was a blog.
Yeah.
And then just trying to get people to write for the blog is awful. Like even getting people to answer a questionnaire and get back to you on time. And then eventually morphed into a podcast after being on several podcasts. And that was a good way to get career stories and share advice for professionals without having to make people write. It's a lot easier to ask somebody for an hour of their time just to talk rather than, hey, can you go write me an essay or answer these questions?
So the last several years, Mentor Dino has evolved and grown and continued to grow. What is it today, just so people understand what we're talking about?
Yeah. So Mentor Dino, it's as much as you learn with business and everything changes and morphs, and I've learned what are more of the pinch points and the pain points that firms are having, Mentor Dino has a mentoring side and a teaching side. So the mentoring side is the podcast where I have professionals on to share their career stories, and it's professionals in and around the AEC industry because I feel architects need to get out of just talking to architects and see the world from other conversations and viewpoints. And it has been fascinating, especially when I have somebody outside of architecture, to learn exactly what they do, their path, and how we integrate with each other. And that the frequency has morphed a little bit. I was doing weekly when it started, shifted to biweekly, and I'm going to be moving to monthly new guests and then running a series that I'll talk about in a second. And then the technical and training arm is the Mentor Dino Academy. And so when I first started, there were individual courses people could buy, but I found everybody was looking for that all-in-one platform and content. So when I was working at a large firm, they had a whole learning management system. It had a lot of gaps to it because, you know, everybody needs to create the content and it takes time to create content. And so it's pretty much making that platform that large firms have, but giving it access to everybody. So it doesn't matter if you're a solopreneur, have a small firm, if you're just an individual looking to study for the exams, or CSI has their CDT that I've added practice questions to, but also project management, business of architecture, and all those professional and personal growth items. I even have cybersecurity because I've been at a firm that was under cyber attack. And for a small firm, if you get a cyber attack, that can put you out of business. So all those little trainings coming together, and they're all micro lessons. So they're not getting you CEU credit, but who has time to sit through hours of CEUs all day? This is the quick and dirty. I want to help you get to know what you need to know, but also connect you with resources. So IMI has a great resource library. They're the International Masonry Institute. So I teach masonry lessons, but I get information from IMI and connect them back. So you know that they are a resource for you to review your details and just pulling all the information together because it all exists, but making sure it's in one platform so you don't have to go digging for it for so long. So the Academy has over 520 courses in it so far, over 100 technical lessons, and then 400 professional development, personal development, finances, you name it. I actually have people in there taking a bunch about creating presentations and how to give presentations. If you've got anxiety giving presentations, all the different things that we do depending on what stage of architecture you're in. So that's the two main arms that Mentor Dino has become to kind of pull together the mentoring and the technical side and training.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by WeCollabify, one of our trusted allied partners. As this community has grown over the years, one thing has become very clear to me. The partners we choose matter. Allied partners are not sponsors. They're not advertisers. They are organizations that we've taken the time to get to know, to work alongside, and to trust. They understand the real pressures of practice and the responsibility that comes with leading a small firm. We Calabify earn that trust by helping small firm owners address a challenge that sits at the center of long-term firm health: building capacity in a way that supports people, not just projects. Their insourcing model brings skilled design, BIM, and technical professionals directly into your team. They work in your time zone, inside your systems, and part of your day-to-day workflow. That integration allows firms to add capacity when it's needed, scale with intention, and grow without sacrificing culture, leadership focus, or quality of life. If you're thinking beyond short-term fixes and focused on building a firm that lasts, I encourage you, go learn why WeCollabify is one of our trusted allied partners. Visit WeCollabify.com/EntreeArchitect to learn more. That's WeCollabify.com/EntreeArchitect. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, ARCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at arcat.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. Yeah, it sounds like, well, you had described that it's for everyone, right? Could be for a sole practitioner all the way up to a very large firm.
Yep.
It sounds perfect for those firms that are growing to become large firms that start to feel some of those growing pains, start at that moment, start thinking, oh, we need to build some sort of educational process, some training program that our people can take and learn all these things. Yours is plug and play. Just connect
exactly
to Mentor Dino and it's all there.
Yeah, because you'll still have to create trainings on your own standards and like standard operating procedures. So many firm owners don't know what SOPs are. And you'll still have to create those for your own standards and what you want to do. But for the technical and how a building comes together, that doesn't change. Or how to read an architectural set of drawings or how to read structural drawings. It's a pretty baseline knowledge to bring everybody up. And then you're going to have the project specific. So it's not saying you don't have to train your staff anymore. You don't have to mentor them. But if I can help the initial buildup of everybody so they can ask better questions, if your green student that's fresh out of college has a better understanding on how a building comes together, they can ask you questions that you wouldn't expect them to ask because they're really deep into the drawings and they'll be able to catch it. There's project management training. If you want somebody to be able to step into a project management role, wouldn't it be great to already have training in there? That then you can say, oh, okay, this person's been taking a lot of project management training. Maybe they're interested in being a support PM on the next project. Or if there's somebody that you're queuing up to buy out part of your firm and step into a principal role. So many principals don't understand the business side of architecture and basic net operating revenues. And so I've got basic business courses in there as well as business of architecture. So both apply, and it's just how you apply business to the architecture practice. So it's a way to just get everybody rolling faster so you don't feel like you have to create 500 plus lessons from nothing. It's, hey, yeah, I got them the initial base for you, and it grows every month. So, and I have experts that try to help me make lessons as well, because by no means am I an expert in everything, but I know a lot of people now. If somebody has a question and wants me to go make a course on it, and I don't know how to put it together, I'll go find the expert to do it.
Yeah, very, very inspiring, Caitlin. To understand how you built it and when you built it, you were working full time. So when you started, this was a side project that built, you grew into a significant business. And now you're running your own architecture firm. And it sounds like the things that you have learned in order to teach other people have lent themselves to helping you build a successful architecture firm. You're talking about being very busy 3-4 months into the business. That's a testament to all of the training that you've learned and have executed on.
Yeah. And beyond the training, it's just the conversations. I wasn't expecting the podcast to impact me as much as it did. But beyond the imposter syndrome of starting training, there's imposter syndrome of if I'm good enough to run my own practice and if I know what I'm doing. So because I'm so busy and I had to pull back the podcast, I'm running a series called Conversations That Built My Practice. And I pulled out the top 25 episodes that truly impacted me on taking a step or a thought into opening up my own practice and that it's something that I can do. And these professionals also became resources. I've reached out to several of them after their episode was recorded and aired, and even pitching ideas on, hey, I'm thinking about going this way. Do you have another 20 minutes to just let me pick your brain and, you know, offline conversations? So running that series, it starts tomorrow at the time of this recording. So end of March.
Yeah. So it's ready to go.
Yeah.
Listen now.
If you're even thinking about opening your own practice or joining a startup or small firm, it's a great way to really shift your mindset a little bit differently, because when you open up your own practice, you have to take your architect hat off and you have to put a business hat on. And that is so many of the issues solo practitioners run into, because they want to just do the design and they don't acknowledge that they have to do the business. And so learning those stepping stones from so many other professionals, that hopefully I've learned a lot of their lessons learned ahead of going off on my own. But I've learned about marketing and social media through Mentor Dino. So when I started off my own firm, I've got people finding me through AI and Google and searching like female Pittsburgh architect. And I'm one of the first firms that pops up and I'm like, I am not the first female architect in Pittsburgh, and it's still mainly a landing page of a website. So I'm like, okay, I've learned enough about marketing, SEO, how to reach out to people, networking. So it kind of built up to that, that I don't think I could have bait and switched as easily.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if I would have had the thought to shift.
Right.
I think I would still be practicing within a firm.
Yeah, you can learn more about Mentor Dino at mentordino.com. All of it's there. The academy is there. The podcast is there. The blog is still there, right?
The blog's there. I haven't updated it or issued it in articles, but there is a free download for the stories I collected on the ARE. I also ran a Pittsburgh Equity and Architecture Report where I gathered salaries of architects in Pittsburgh. So if you're local to me, it's helpful.
Yeah.
And that's all free on the website. And you can also download a free course list. So if you're curious about the 520 lessons I have in there, that free download updates once a month. So you should be able to see everything through early March that's currently in there. And you can register as an individual or talk to me on bringing on multiple individuals within your firm. So it just kind of depends on what you want. And I got people in different directions that are in the academy.
And that's all clear on the website, how someone can contact you?
Yep. I have a contact form. So real easy. So I can see what you're looking for. But if you're an individual, you could just go in and purchase a subscription and it's monthly. So pretty easy access. If you're studying for the exams and just need some extra practice questions for a couple months, you can hop in and see if it's something you want to stick around longer.
All right. Sounds awesome. Before we wrap up, I want to know more about the architecture firm. So 3 or 4 months into it here and successful, what type of work are you doing?
So I am doing residential and light commercial. So I say I help growing families and businesses. I come from the commercial side and doing hospitals, giant workplace, higher education. So the commercial side's been a little bit slower, but I've been navigating residential and I've done some work on the side on the residential end. So it's been nice to have residential architects in my back pocket to ask questions to, because that has not been my wheelhouse and my training. So it's learning a new side, but understanding I've learned architecture before. I didn't design a hospital before I graduated college, and now I understand the different systems. But understanding I'm solo, so I can't go after the massive projects. But a lot of residential works come in and just trying to find the business networks where architects aren't. As much as the AIA is helpful, I'm not spending as much time with the AIA. I'd rather go spend time in networks that they don't know an architect at all. So I become the first referral point and the main person to reach out to. I get work from other architects that are so swamped that they don't have bandwidth to bring in more work. So even that architect network, I get other work and clients from there. And then focusing in on bringing in more commercial work to help diversify all those project types, because anybody that just focuses on one, you always get the worry on what happens, what recession's next. So now my focus for the next couple of months is bringing in some more commercial clients. So the residential little additions tend to be the quick burn. And so I want a mix of long-term and short-term projects to be able to balance everything out. But hoping to build a team, I don't want to be solo forever. I don't want that pressure to everything falls on me. Or if I'm on vacation, everything falls on me. I want to be able to step away from the business and mentally take a break. And if somebody else can help manage it while I go take those breaks, that would be fantastic. So hopefully it grows into a small firm. I don't want anything to be crazy large, but a small nucleus team that can really have a big impact. And I focus on my Pittsburgh region. My daughter just turned one over the weekend. So I want to be home for dinner and I want to be able to see her grow and have that opportunity to be there for her. So I don't want to be on planes anymore. I want to take that break. So I joke my driving radius is pretty big because I'm comparing it to being on planes all the time, whereas most Pittsburghers stick to their like north, south, east, or west, and I'll cover all of it because it's just a drive to me. So, but that was probably the other big driver on stepping out on my own, because most professionals that go off on their own, I found they either started a family or they got laid off.
Yep.
And most firms are started that way. It's rare that somebody plans it out and just leaves and doesn't have one of those two things happen.
Very inspiring. You sound like a seasoned professional.
Oh, thanks.
And it's, again, a testimony to the work that you've put into learning and training other people. I was going to ask you about your future, but you talked about your future. You talked about, clearly you've done vision work and mission work and understands how that's a good place to start in order to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, one of my core principles is all about a balanced practice, because I've been burned out enough times in my career that I know if it's always on me all the time and I have many years left in my career, I don't want to hit that burnout and have it all be on me. Building a smaller practice so you could have people to punt it off to if a kid's sick or something happens, or having some other coverage from a mental and health standpoint.
Yeah.
But Entree Architects also been a huge help as well, because I joined at the mastermind level and the core groups I'm a part of have been fantastic. Seeing the ups and downs that I'm not alone, understanding that, you know, I have plenty of projects coming in right now, but 2 months ago I didn't. And so the roller coaster ride is steeper, but when you have other people to talk through and ask questions, it's so nice to have that accountability group to just spitball ideas or ask questions, or if I need help and I need to bring on a 1099, we've even had those conversations on, hey, if you need help, let me know. Let's set up a contract to be able to help you out. So Entree Architects been a great resource. If you're solo and haven't joined, it's been fantastic for me to getting the ground running with confidence.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm glad that we could help for sure. How far out do you think your first employee is going to be?
If you asked me that in December, I would have said, oh, maybe a year or two. When you ask me today, I will know in the next couple weeks if I need to bring somebody on in like the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's the only real delay in that is, you know, the business side. Cash flow, have enough of cash in the reserve. Other cash moved over to my tax account and making sure it's there to cover salaries for a couple of weeks. But I already have a 1099 queued up to bring on board in the next couple of weeks to help me get through some of the drafting strains. But yeah, I think a first hire is going to happen this year. And it just depends if, you know, some of those bigger projects that are in the pipeline that I'm watching and just waiting for that initial meeting, if that starts and when it starts, to figure that out. But yeah. It's a lot faster. I thought I'd have a lot more time to, like, you know, work on my mission statements some more and exactly. Hone in on my my goals and get systems set up.
Wait till it gets busy. Not just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, again, you've done a great job and I can't wait to see where you go with your architecture firm. You're going to be super successful. I can see and hear how you've prepared for this and what you understand and how you understand it. It's rare that somebody who's in for just a couple of months talks the way you're talking. And so you are very well prepared and you will definitely be successful. So it'll be interesting to watch you grow.
Yeah, maybe you'll see a mentor dino start your own firm thing in a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gathering content at this point to hopefully help others not feel like they're just jumping into the deep end and winging it. I'm like, you should not be winging a business. Like there's a lot of things you need to have set up and things I wish I had set up earlier, assuming I was going to have some time.
Well, Caitlin, you're talking to thousands of architects right now and you've given us tons of information and lots of advice. If there was one thing that you would say to a small firm architect that they could do today to build a better business for tomorrow, what would that one thing be?
It's taking that architect hat off and that it's okay. You're still an architect, but you need to put the business hat on. And whether that's deciding you have to work on the financials and get invoicing out and doing things you may not enjoy doing, or if you're an introvert and not wanting to go to networking events and put yourself out there, do you have your 30-second commercial that you can go talk to somebody? And it's hard because people don't know what architects do. So you have to a little bit over-explain it. But then when you need to delegate, when you're on the business side and seeing the financials, do you have a forecasting data to see all your numbers? I have all of that so I can see the numbers and how I'm going to go into the negative on the number of time I have and the hours per project I have to do. That I have to, okay, I need to start figuring out a good 1099 to bring on. I don't need them now, but I know I'm going to need them in a month, and getting it set up and being able to see it. But if I didn't put that business hat on and I just sat at my seat and just plugged away and drafted and designed, those other projects wouldn't get in the pipeline. The growth wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be able to confidently have a salary by the end of the year. I already am paying myself regularly. And if you're a solo architect and you don't know what your salary is, it's probably a sign to go put on your business hat because that means you're not paying attention to the business entrepreneur side of you. So grab some business books, grab a business hat, go talk to somebody that's at your current state 5 years down the road and 10 years down the road as a solo firm owner and try to learn from their lessons. But it's okay to take off the architect hat and put on a business hat to make sure your practice can be sustainable and profitable.
Her name is Caitlin Rosier. The company is Mentor Dino, and it's mentordino.com. If you'd like to check out our architecture firm, it's rosierarchitecture.com, and it's spelled R-O-S-S-I-E-R, is Rosier, rosierarchitecture.com. The podcast is also at mentordino.com. You should go subscribe to that. Excellent podcast, and I can't wait to hear your upcoming series. So go check that out at mentordino.com. Caitlin, thank you for the dedication that you have given to this profession. You could have, first of all,
left.
When you had that disaster project, you could have just walked away and gone to do something else. And some other profession would have the benefit of your guidance. And you didn't. You stuck to it and you turned it around and not only, you know, succeeded and grew two successful businesses because of it, but you're impacting thousands of people every day. And so thank you for that. Thank you for dedicating yourself to our profession. And thank you for coming by here, sharing your story and your knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Mark, for having me. If I can, you know, impact my clients and impact other professionals, then I know I've done a job worth doing.
Yes.
And that's what it really means at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Mark.
If you enjoyed this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link with a friend, because that's how we've continued to grow and serve thousands more small firm architects just like you. Thank you to our sponsors for this episode. Links to the sponsors and all the resources we discussed today, they are all available in the show notes for this episode at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a proud member of the Gable Media Network. It's the multimedia network moving the architecture, engineering, and construction industries forward through the power of storytelling. You can earn AIA continuing education credits by listening to select episodes of this podcast and many others at gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, listen up. Join us today at Entree Architect Network. It's the worldwide community for entrepreneur architects. We've been around since 2012, and our basic level is now free to join. Yes, you can join Entree Architect Network for free. And that gives you access to valuable business resources and our global community of architects. And you can upgrade anytime for live coaching, AIA approved training, and mastermind support. So visit entrearchitect.com to learn more and to get started. My name is Mark R. LePage. Thank you for listening to the Entree Architect podcast. Love, learn, share. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.